We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 today. Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Philippians chapter 2. I'll begin in verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. As we look at this passage, there's several things we need to unravel. We need to realize the Apostle Paul, he's writing to this church in Philippi who has ministered greatly to his needs and to the needs of the church. These are people that are very dear to him. They are people who are, as it's described in verse 15, they are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. He's not writing to a compound that's protected by a fence and people never get outside of it. But these are people who are living in a world where there is much perversity, much that is going on around them that is not of God, much pressure to compromise, and let's face it, to just plain old sin. And so he's writing to these people in that context, but he's also writing to them because they are a group of people in that context. They are a group of people who are the church. And this church is existing in that context of a crooked and perverse nation. And as a church, as a collective body, as the body of Christ, there are multiple individuals that are in fellowship together. And so as we contemplate how we might fit into this today, we realize that this is very similar, isn't it? We are a collective group of people, body of people, who are existing in a crooked and perverse nation. We are individuals in whom God has worked and brought us into the body of Christ. So as Paul is writing this, he begins by drawing our attention to the Lord Jesus. And this may seem very elementary for us today, but boy, it's so helpful to remember how the Lord Jesus lived and talked and walked. I know that we need these reminders because we can just fall into this plotting day by day in our own ways and begin to just lose sight of our bearings, of who we live for. I know last week we looked at the greatest commandments, and they had a profound impact on me once again. I don't know about you, but there's times that when I'm preaching, you know, I'm learning, and when I say amen after the service, it's almost like we just close the doors to that. And we just move on to the next thing so fast. And I'm realizing the value of even me as the pastor just taking some time, just what was just said? What did we just talk about? Just to meditate on those things. Remember the value of that, of meditating. It's not a bad word. I mean, there are some wrong meditations out there, but we're talking about meditating, focusing in on what God has just said to us and allowing our minds to ruminate on it, to consider these things. And as I considered these great commandments in my own life and asking the very real questions of that text, do I really love the Lord thy God, the Lord my God, with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind? Love my neighbor as myself. Do I really do that? Is that really true of me? You know, it's good to spend time thinking through those things. And so as we join with the Apostle Paul, considering his address to this church in the crooked and perverse nation, and he cries out to them, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Notice here what he says, if there's any consolation in Christ. What do you find in Christ? When was the last time you actually thought about that? The value of having Christ in your life, and what does that bring to the table for you? How does that nourish your soul? If you have any consolation in Christ, do you find consolation in Him? Have you experienced, have you taken the time to just enjoy and appreciate that? The comfort of love. It is by God's grace, we are in a community where we love one another. Now, we're not perfect at it. And we will offend one another. And, you know, as we're seeing here, it's pleaded by the Apostle Paul, be this way, be like-minded. But when you're in an environment of love, there's an incredible amount of comfort and strength. When you're in your own home and it's a home where you know love exists, that's really where you kind of let your guard down, isn't it? Where you just kind of, you are who you are, right? This is just maybe a little illustration, but just very this morning, I was... I hadn't gotten ready for church. I was in my sweatpants and my just t-shirt. My hair I didn't even do. It was kind of sticking up. And I had, you know, one of you came to the door. All right? And so there was this whole thing about, who's going to answer the door? Because we're not ready yet. And I was like, do I want to show myself like this? And I was like, you know what? He loves me. I love him. What's the big deal? Just, this is who I am. I go answer the door. I don't know what he said after he left, but he didn't say anything to me. But you know what? There's a comfort in that loving environment of just having an environment of love. And there's a strength there where you can be who you are. And there's no need to just put on some show, right? You know, if there be any consolation in Christ, realize that. There is incredible consolement in who Christ is in your life. There is comfort in love. What else is there? If any fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship. That word koinonia. That being together. There's this partnership in the Spirit that we share. And we share this as believers, as a part of the body of Christ. And what a joy that fellowship is. I don't know, how many of you have ever gone traveled outside of your normal place and met another Christian that you never met before? That's happened, right? Isn't that exciting? Like, you just connect on this level that's not there except in the Spirit. You just connect. And I'm not talking about, oh, you're a farmer, I'm a farmer. I'm just talking because, you know, we connect because we're brothers or sisters in Christ. And there's this fellowship of the Spirit that we share, yes, collectively here, but around the world. There's one Spirit that unites the body of Christ, and we enjoy that incredible fellowship in the Spirit. Make note of that and enjoy that. It's such a blessing to know that to have other people around you that you can unite your heart with because you both are in Jesus. Wow. I enjoyed that this weekend. Just a family, the Van Scoit family, had a funeral. Lois passed away. Lois and her husband, what was her husband's name? Was it Leonard? Right. They used to live right here. Right next door, where the fellowship hall is, they used to live right here. And Lois passed away, and the family called me on the phone. That's how you do it, right? Unnecessary wording. Called me and asked if they could use the fellowship hall for their memorial lunch. And so I'm kind of going through the protocol. I have no idea who this guy is. And I'm like, you'd have to read through this. You read the building use policy, and, you know, it's only a week away, you know, how am I going to figure all this out? And eventually, through talking and through some other things, I learned that Jay, who I'm talking to, was a fellow believer. Boy, it kind of changed my tune. I was like, wow, let me serve you. Not that I don't want to serve other people, but it's like, I want to bend over backwards to help you and your family celebrate your mom. And we as a church, we're going to do that. We're going to do what we can to help you. And we got to do that, church, by the way. Just the hall was opened up for them and tables and chairs set up for them. And they were able to just really have a good memorial lunch. And thank you for being willing to be a part of that. And we were able to bless this family. But you have this fellowship of the Spirit. So if you have any bowels and mercies, anybody have any bowels? Oh, yes, in the days of colonoscopies, huh? Woo! I'm sorry to bring that up. I shouldn't have brought that up. But anyway, the bowels and mercies. That's horrible. Bowels and mercies. Yeah, there's this tenderness and emotion that goes along with being a human, being a person. And as he's writing this to people that he desperately loves and he cares for them and they for him, these vows and mercies, these connections, these emotional connections are real. And you know what? You share those with people in your life, and you should share them with people here in this church. And so if these things are there, then the Apostle Paul says, then you fulfill my joy, speaking with the authority of the apostle, being apostle, that you be like-minded. The question is, well, why would you be any other-minded? Why would you be different in your mindedness? All we have to do is look around and think about ourselves for a few seconds, and there we go. It's not a problem to be different-minded. Fulfill you my joy, Paul says, that you be like-minded. It's such a joy to the Apostle Paul that this church embraces a like-mindedness. Can they? Yes, they can. Can we? Yes, we can. Same love, having the same love of one accord, of one mind. Same love. Any ideas why this triggers me? I mean, we just talked about the greatest commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. What kind of love is he talking about here? The same love. Do you see, I love Christianity because we don't have to be confused about who are we worshiping or what is this love. It's clear. There's a unity. There's a oneness. There's one God. And Jesus clarified this greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and a second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't go beyond that. And so therefore, we as a church, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. There's an amazing thing that happens over and over across the world, and that is groups of people like us continue to operate, continue to get together. It's a miracle, isn't it? Because you just have to look around. We're so different, and we have different looks at life, different perspectives of life. We're different ages, and yet we keep coming back and shaking each other's hands and working together, worshiping together. It's a miracle. It's the working of God. And let's never forget, this is of God. And so Apostle Paul is drawing this church and us to this mindset. How do we do that? Because I have a mind and you have a mind and my mind thinks this way and your mind thinks this way. How can we be of one mind? How? Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Don't be doing something to cause trouble, cause a problem. Some people might seem like they like to cause trouble, cause problems. No, this is not what it's about in the body of Christ. The world has plenty of that. They like to pick their fights. They like to say their little one-liners to get under your skin. This is not how we, as the body of Christ, since the church, are to be. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It's about me, about glorying in myself, which is just an emptiness. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, when we motor through passages like this, we'll think about the things we like and we'll just flow over quickly the things we don't like. We'll embrace the things that we're comfortable with, but the things that poke us a little bit, we'll just say, we'll come back to that later. You know what? What is the Spirit of God saying to your heart right now based on these three verses that we've looked at thus far? Right? Has he convicted your heart in any way? And you write it down. Pay attention to what God is saying. Because remember, God is for us. We are His body. And so He's giving us these instructions that we might succeed as His body. And we'll see what that means here later. We've already read it, Are we lowly of mind, humble? Let each esteem other better than themselves. This is very practical. I mean, as parents, right? We can tell our children, are you esteeming your sister or your brother above yourself? Are you treating them with value and respect better than you are yourself? Well, if our children would stop and think about those things, right? Boy, it would eliminate a lot of the bickering and arguing that might go on in homes. Think of the flip side of this. Have you ever been in a relationship where there is a one-mindedness? Where you are of one accord? Wow. Where you are each other, you're lowly of mind and you're esteeming each other better than yourselves. Wow. What a refreshment. Now look not, verse 4, every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is not a verse to encourage being nosy, being busybodies. What are you doing? Right? We don't want to be that. It's not that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, we can be so caught up with ourselves that we neglect the things of others, that we neglect what is happening in the lives of other people. Let this mind, verse 5, be in you. And now this is where our focus goes. Paul is not directing them to look at himself. He's directing the church, he's directing us to look at Christ. Because he wants to give an example. He wants to show the church, what does this really look like? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a blessing again, because where we're all focused right back to Jesus, right back to Him. We don't have to argue about, oh, we're going to look at Paul, we're going to look at Peter, or we're looking at Apollos. No, we're going to look to Christ. We're going to look to Jesus. We're not going to look to pastor. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be good examples. You know, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I regret that. I know that. But here he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let's just agree here as followers of the Lord that the Lord Jesus lived perfectly. That He is God in the flesh. And so the way He lived was the greatest, most perfect, holy example for us. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is one of the most tremendous passages explaining Jesus coming to earth and taking on flesh. One of the most amazing concepts to think about is how God sent His Son into our realm. Today I read in Matthew, for my devotional time, Matthew chapter 1, and it talks about the birth of Jesus. And we know that Jesus is conceived of the Holy Ghost. I mean, just the amazing thing to think about is that the Holy Spirit plants within Mary this sperm that connects with her egg, and there's the Lord Jesus is conceived. No human father. And yet he is born of a woman. He is God, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So this is how he's directing our thinking. What did the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus knew he is God. There was no issue with that, his deity. And you can't get any higher than that. He's God. And yet he made himself of no reputation. He came into our realm, took upon himself the form of a servant, the likeness of men. This was not a step up, because you can't go up if you're God. He stepped into our realm. And being found in fashion as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself. So even when Jesus grew up and his earthly ministry began, isn't it fascinating to see his character? Just contemplate. I mean, here he is, God in the flesh. And he had every right and every power and every authority to just put the hammer down, to speak with incredible, just put people in their places and just make people do what he wanted them to do, be the king that he is. But he didn't. He didn't. He was a humble man, meek. Oh, he was strong. He had authority. Absolutely. But you think of the Lord Jesus that you know, and he is not a man that's pompous and proud. But he is a man who's humble, who put others before himself. It was the Lord Jesus that took the towel and knelt down at the feet of the disciples and washed their dusty feet. He humbled himself. Even he became obedient even to death, even the death of the cross. What's the big deal about that? Well, you're like, Pastor, listen, he died. Yeah, he died, but he also died the most humiliating death that had been invented at that time. Naked on a cross. There he is. And he became obedient unto death. Don't you like that? I mean, he's God, right? But he came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So let this mind be in you. Do we have an example of humility? Do we have an example of someone who puts others before themselves? A perfect example? Yes, we do. And remember how all this starts. You need to be of one mind. You need to be of one accord. And so after the death of the cross, you know what happened? God exalts him. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up, we see in other passages. You know what? We get so concerned about ourselves being exalted. We get so concerned about us getting our way and being where we think we need to be, that we forget the truth of the scripture, that there's kind of come a time when God takes care of all injustices and where God will make all things right. But that's in his time. And the order that God demands from us is you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. The example of Christ, he humbled himself, became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross, and then wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And he is exalted today. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's exalted, and he's given him a name which is above every name. Every name. You can't get a higher name than him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You know what? I'm going to bow before Jesus just like you're going to bow before Jesus. When it all's said and done, we're all at the same place. We're on our knees before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we get jockeying around for position or authorities, power, position. And somehow we lose sight of the reality of what Jesus has done for us, this example. We can be so short-sighted, so earthly-minded. But we've got God's word and passages such as this that take us from the earthly-mindedness and our short-sightedness to that which is beyond. Oh God, help us to live with eternity in view. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so, application, here we come. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Now we know this is not advocating works-based salvation. What is the saying? This is saying, listen, you're saved. You are saved. Work that out. Let that truth and that reality ooze out of every part of your being. And you're doing it with fear and trembling. With an awe and respect of the Almighty God. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Think of the ramifications of that. Is it God who's working in you? It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Whose good pleasure? God's good pleasure. I like my pleasure. And you know what, God? I think I have some pretty good ideas. And I'm not that far off of you or your will or your plan. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is it God that's working in you? I mean, really, think through it. When you go to work, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Enjoy the reality of this, that as we submit to the Lord and his working in our lives, we can trust he will accomplish his will. And he will be pleased as we submit to him. This is such a blessing to my heart because there's so many times when I'm lost or I just don't know what to do or I don't know what to say. I don't know how to be. Oh God, work in me your will that I might accomplish your good pleasure. So do all things without murmurings and disputings that you may be blameless and harmless. Why is this important? Because we are living in a sin-cursed, crooked, perverse nation This world needs to see Jesus. How are they going to see him? Through us. You know, as you go from this place, you represent Jesus. You're wearing a t-shirt that says, Jesus, I'm a follower of him. Do you know him? Be blameless and harmless. The sons of God. Do you own it? Are you his? Yeah, we are his children. Without rebuke. Where are we? We're right in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's where you are. I know we have all kinds of different responses to this wicked and perverse nation. This ought to be how we live. Because we're shining as lights in the world. Light. You know, there's some days maybe you wish you weren't a light. Or you were ashamed of how things displayed that day. You know, God is patient with us. And passages like this that set us, that present the perfect example and present these instructions for us that we might live in this way can sometimes be annoying to us because, you know, the excuse that comes out of our mouth is, I'm not perfect. And I listen, this is true, yes. But do not allow that excuse to be something you hide behind and continue to live in sin or to be satisfied with less than what the Lord is instructing us here in Philippians chapter 2. May we be a people who are enjoying the reality of being in Christ, of being his children, and are taking seriously the call upon our lives to shine as lights in this world. To shine brightly for the Lord. May God help us to follow in Christ's steps. He's given us the example. Paul has laid it out through the inspiration of the Spirit of God so beautifully here. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we just meditate on this passage today. Yeah, you can keep your Bible open and just, I don't care if you have your eyes open looking at the text, that's fine. I just want us to spend a little bit of time here contemplating what the Spirit is saying to us. Ask yourself the hard questions. Ask yourself the questions about, am I humble, lowly in mind? Am I esteeming others better than myself? Am I enjoying the reality of being in Christ and finding that consolation? Who's at work in me? God, I want you to work in me. And yes, God will work in you for his will and his good pleasure. Whose pleasure are you striving for? I'm a child of God. There's no rebuke. I'm in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We are. And Lord, you know that. But we've been called to shine. 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 And it's not about us shining ourselves, shine the light on ourselves. We shine the light on Christ. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for reminding us of this truth today. We need it because, Lord, we want to be a healthy body. We want to love one another. We want to have your mind as we go out into this world. Lord, we're praying for the lost to be found, for the blind to see, for those that are dead in their trespasses and sins to be brought to life, everlasting life. In your name we pray. Amen.